Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue with our current subject, seven things in the Scripture that are better than sacrifice. We've already considered obedience to the Lord, to do justice and judgment, to show mercy. Thanksgiving is better than sacrifice. Fellowship with God is certainly better than sacrifice. And today we wish to consider fellowship with our brethren, and we are going to refer directly to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to what our Lord has to say. In chapter 5 of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 24, we read these words. Verse 23, I think, would be better to start our thoughts. Verse 23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. God wants fellowship with our brethren before we bring our sacrifice. Now, our sacrifices may be good, our intent may be good, but God wants something ahead of that. He wants that the sacrifice should be brought with peace. And we must consider this indeed because our Lord spoke it, and He indeed wants us to observe this. Now, you will notice that our Lord does not give a solution here. He does not give a solution as to how peace may be affected when two brethren are at odds, but He tells the results, and that is, your gift won't be accepted. Leave your gift. He doesn't say, I don't want your gift. He says, leave your gift. First be reconciled to your brethren. He wants that more than He wants the sacrifice. The sacrifice must be made with a clean and a right spirit. Now, He does, however, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, He does tell us how these problems may be resolved. So I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles near at hand and wish to follow us, we will be reading in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Listen to what the Lord says. Moreover, if thy brethren shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault, between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now, I think he means by this, don't be around the brother and aggravate him with your differences. Let peace prevail, even if it means that you leave him alone. Now, these are the Lord's instructions. They're not mine. All we can do is just simply minister them and make it very, very plain that the Lord means what He says, and He says what He means. Let's go through these steps now. First of all, He says, leave your gift at the altar, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Now, settle the problem one-on-one, if at all possible. Don't spread your problems among God's people. Don't try to gain efforts and support for your side. Don't do that. Settle it one on one. These are the Lord's instructions. Now, if you can't settle it one on one, then call in two or three others as witnesses. And you know, you can have differences with your brother. But if you have to outline these differences before other people, sometimes you don't have the feeling you may win your case. All right. Now, if it If it does not fail, then these instructions are current for us. This is the church. The Lord means what he says when he speaks up unto the church. He's announced his church in chapter 16. Now he wants peace in his church in chapter 18. So he says, if he will not hear thee, then take two or three. If they won't hear them, if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, if the church can't settle it, just leave him alone. Stay away from him. Don't quarrel about the matter. Now, the Apostle Paul has a similar solution to this problem, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Listen to what Paul says, and remember, please, these are not the thoughts of Paul. These are the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, as he was given the instructions from the Spirit. The Spirit is the writer of the word, not Paul. Paul is just the human instrument. Listen to what Paul says. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. Here's a little bit of sarcasm. We're going to judge angels. Now, when you choose anybody to resolve your differences with a brother, you're not going to choose the least in the church. You're going to choose the very best, the elders, the deacons, or whatever. Okay, and he gets sarcastic. Choose those that are the least to settle these things. They're so simple. And then he says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? And you know these Corinthians doted on wisdom. Is there not a wise man among you? Just feel the sarcasm. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But if the brother go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers, dragging out this quarrel before the unbelievers. Oh, how terrible. Now, therefore, there be utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law with one another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Now, you see, he has some solutions, and he sets them in order. Bring the problem before the saints. Now, if they can't settle it, take the wrong and preserve the peace. I can't think of a better illustration of this in Abraham's dealings with Lot in the Old Testament. Let's turn, please, if you will, and if you're following me with your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 13. We read there in verse 5, and Lot also, which with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. They were overgrazing the land. They had huge flocks. And it caused a quarrel. Pardon me. There was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwell in the land. Yes, the unsaved were looking on. Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Here, magnanimous Abraham, in his wonderful spirit, says to Lot, take your choice. It's very evident that we can't dwell together. They were quarreling, and it's better to separate than to quarrel. And here he says, here, now you take your choice. So what do we read in verse 10? Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord dwelt, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, and I think he means the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt, where the Nile irrigates the lands around, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. He made a wrong choice, a materialistic choice, and that was not to his benefit, spiritually speaking. Lot, as we know later, lost his life, lost his wife, rather. She turned to a pillar of salt. He lost two daughters and their husbands because of the judgment that God wreaked upon these wicked cities. He made a materialistic choice. And he brought spiritual havoc into his family. He made a wrong choice. But Abraham gave him his choice. But Abraham was blessed. Now listen to verse 14, if you please, of that chapter. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look toward the place, look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Ah, he gets the approbation of the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, now that Lot was gone. The quarrel was over. Now let's go back, if you please, to our original verse in that 18th chapter, or rather the 5th chapter of Matthew, as the Lord stated it there in the Sermon on the Mount. Our minds now have been conditioned by these examples and by these various solutions to accept this perhaps with better grace. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer your gift. Oh, may we observe this, and may we get things settled in the church, that the world be not stumbled, and that there might be peace reign. God loves peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the God of peace. And may these simple illustrations and these verses effect that peace. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that you will indeed use this portion of Scripture to bring peace among your people and glorify your name. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.